We've been reporting here on the show on the latest attempts by the UN to get into Kuber, the site of what is reported to have been a second massacre in Syria. Earlier attempts to get into the village failed when UN monitors, they say, came under fire. Paul Danahar from our partner, the BBC, is with the UN team today. And given the situation, he says progress has been slow.
It's a very dangerous part of Syria. The UN monitors are traveling unarmed. And so before they bring in our convoy of UN vehicles and one or two journalists, they want to make sure that it's safe for us to enter.
Now, attempts to end the chaos in Syria may well enter a new phase. Peace envoy Kofi Annan will address the United Nations Security Council this afternoon. He's expected to try and persuade Russia and China to help put pressure on the government in Damascus, their key allies of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. But the situation in the country continues to deteriorate. It will come as no surprise for you to hear how many thousands of Syrians no longer feel safe in their own country or in their own homes. So away from the politics and diplomacy for a moment, there's an unfolding humanitarian crisis in that country. Today, the International Committee of the Red Cross said that more Syrian civilians are being forced to flee their homes to escape the fighting between Syrian troops and opposition forces. Sean McGuire is a spokesman for the International Committee on the Red Cross and joins us now. Hello, Sean.
Hello there.
What is your latest report on the humanitarian situation in Syria?
Well, it's rather a bleak picture, I'm afraid. The situation is not improving. We are particularly concerned by the large number of civilians who are getting caught up in the fighting and who are becoming casualties, suffering death injuries, and then struggling to reach medical care and struggling to get the food and shelter assistance that they need.
Do we have situations in Syria that we so often see in conflict zones of people fleeing towards the border to be not allowed to cross over? Is it a situation like that? Or can you sort of paint a picture about what civilians maybe around Kabir are facing?
Well, the people are fleeing to the border. People are moving around the country. We estimate there are more than 500,000 people who have been displaced from their homes. And that number is growing every day. There's very intense fighting in the Homs area, which is adjacent to the Kuber area. And just to give you an example of the sort of numbers that of people who get displaced by every single incident, you'll remember there was a series of killings in the town of Hula. So 5,000 people fled as a result of that and ended up being housed in another village, which only had a population of 1,000. So you can imagine the strain on those resident people there, having to care for an additional 5,000 people who had to shelter in unfinished buildings and mosques and schools and community shelters. So that is a situation where we were able to reach those displaced people and bring them some food and some shelter material. But we haven't been able to reach the area of Kuber. The UN is going in there today, but no humanitarian assistance has been able to be brought into that area, unfortunately.
Sean McGuire of the International Red Cross, what is the overall picture in terms of your effort, other NGOs, other relief organizations getting relief materials into the country? Is the government at least cooperative in allowing humanitarian assistance in, or is that also a problem as you try to get relief to people who are fleeing?
It's not a problem to get material into the country. And in fact, in parts of the country, markets are still operating and you can source relief material locally. It's a question of then distributing it and getting it to areas in need. And obviously in areas where there's heavy fighting, humanitarian workers can't access those areas. And we know for sure there are people trapped in those areas that can't get to hospitals, can't get medical care, and can't even get food. The ICRC has been able to increase its areas of operation to just about everywhere in the country, barring, as I say, those areas where there are fierce fighting. But there is a larger humanitarian operation that the UN wants to set up, and they've been discussing that with the Syrian government for some time now. There is an outline agreement, I believe, to start that operation. It is needed, but we'll have to see whether that gets up and off the ground and whether the necessary permissions and visas and staffing comes through.
Apart from then the political and military situation between the government and opposition forces, is it fair to say at this point that the government has been relatively cooperative with relief efforts as you try to mount them in Syria?
It's been a long journey. Remember, this started in March of last year, and gradually over time through negotiation, we have been able to increase the areas that we can reach. But for every area that we can reach, the needs seem to increase. The fighting is particularly intense or intensifies elsewhere. It's worth noting that, say, in the Homs city, there's fighting for particular neighborhoods, and there's fighting in the north around Idlib, there's fighting in the east. So there's no shortage of needs, and the fighting, the military situation is deteriorating. So while we are reasonably satisfied that we are getting greater access, we are very concerned about the overall humanitarian situation, that it is deteriorating.
And the safety of your personnel as they're in these hot zones or around them, satisfactory in terms of not being at risk from military actors on either side?
Well, that is a problem. Security of movement is an issue, and we do need to talk to all sides of the conflict to try to ensure that we can move around safely. And our partners in the Syrian Arab Red Crescent have unfortunately lost 3 volunteers during the last year to military action. So that is a very grave concern for us, something we take very seriously, and something where we are, we continue to talk to all parties involved in the conflict.
Sean McGuire is spokesman for the International Committee on the Red Cross, speaking to us from London. Sean, thank you.
Thank you.
Leave you now with the words of Ban Ki-moon, UN Secretary General.
The Syrian people are bleeding. They are angry. They want peace and dignity. Above all, they all want action.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.